We extend Christian greetings this morning and count it a privilege to be here to worship the Lord with you. Maybe some of you are surprised to see us here. We had mentioned we're planning on being in Farmville for communion. That didn't work out, so we're here this morning. Before we get into the message, I think we'll ask Laverne and Ruth to come forward with their new son, and also Willis's and Noah's as well. We count this a joy to have a new son here with us this morning. And as I was studying for my message, I came across the scripture. May have used this before, I'm not sure. The account of, in Genesis chapter 33, we have the account of Jacob returning back to Esau. And he was rather apprehensive of this. And he sent somebody ahead of him to meet Esau, and divided his family into two groups. But then when Esau met him, he asked him a question. He lifted up his eyes and saw the woman and children, women and children, and said, "Who are those with thee?" And Jacob said, "The children which God has graciously given thy servant." You know, when someone gives us a gift, we become a recipient of that gift. If we know the giver and have a good relationship with the giver and appreciate the giver, it gives us kind of a sense of appreciation and responsibility for the gift. And we try to remember the giver and to somehow honor the giver in a way as we use that gift. And so this morning, I believe, in your hearts, you do, it says here, you know, he says, graciously given thy servant. I trust you are servants of God, as well as a son and a daughter of God. And so, you do recognize this son as God's gift to you.
I do.
And you will respect the giver of this son, that he has a plan and purpose for that son. And you as parents also need to have that plan and purpose, teaching, training for the glory of God. All right, this time you can support them in this endeavor of raising this son and be a blessing to us as well as a gift for the church. You may show this appreciation by standing to your feet. We'll ask the two grandfathers to lead us in prayer, and then I'll close.
Father, we just thank you again for this another child that you have brought into our family. We thank you, Father, for this gift. And we just pray that you would be with Laverne and Ruth as they bring up this child, that it could truly be a proper child, a child that would grow up to know you, to serve you, and to be a vessel in your kingdom for your glory. So we just pray that you would continue to bless this child and to guide and direct the parents, that this could be accomplished in a way that would be pleasing to you. We just want to commit them into your hands. We pray in the name of Jesus.
Lord God, we thank you for creating us in your image. And we thank you that you have a purpose for each one of us. And we thank you especially for this little son this morning from Micah. And just pray that you would use his life to be a blessing to others and to honor and to glorify your name. Bless the parents Bless Laverne and Ruth as they seek to teach and to train him in your ways and according to your will. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Our righteous, eternal Father, we continue to call upon you in your holy name and praise you for the very gift of life. And we thank you for eternal life through Jesus Christ. But we thank you also for the gift of children. And we thank you for Laverne and Ruth and joining their lives together. And this now, we thank you for their second son, Micah. We recognize him as a gift and a blessing. We dedicate, we commit him to thee. And we thank you for the parents and their receiving of this son. And bless them, Father, as they, again, their desire is to teach him and train him in the way that you would have him go. Thank you, Father, for instructions in your word about teaching and training children. And we thank you that we also are aware they have an eternal soul. And, oh, Father, bless them. Bless also Noan Malin and their family, and Wallace and Lyon and their family, as they too might be a contribution as grandparents in teaching and training the son for your glory. So, Father, bless them in a special way and take glory to thyself. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you, brother. Bless you. Maybe see you. Well, it's been some time that I've stood here to preach a message. Maybe I should ask a question before I do that. Does anyone I'm not offended if you don't remember. Does anyone remember what the last message was that I preached? Well, it's okay. The last message that I preached was preparing for change, which was prior to the ordination. And we thank God for the change that he's brought into our lives. The message that I felt the Lord prompted me to speak on is one that's been going through my mind and my heart numerous times lately and has been very special to me. And I think I've always appreciated it, and yet the more I've been thinking about it and the more I was studying on it, I recognized how little I can really grasp or understand and how important this subject is. And I don't think we're even going to try to finish it this morning. We're just going to kind of break the ground and I trust we can stir our minds and our hearts in such a way that we even have a deeper appreciation for this subject, and that through it all, God can be honored and glorified. I've simply entitled my message this, The Grace of God. Now, the word grace, according to the Strong's Concordance, is used 38 times in the Old Testament and 128 in the New Testament. Now, the Hebrew for the word grace would simply be favor, kindness, well-favored, pleasant, precious. And in studying this, I found another word that this word comes out of that is used 80 times in the Old Testament. And so I think the subject of grace, there's no way we can ever exhaust it as we think about God's grace and how he has manifested to us. And I praise him this morning for that. And my desire is to continually to have a deeper love and appreciation for God and recognizing his grace and how inclusive it is for the child of God. You know, I would not be here this morning. I would not attempt to stand behind this pulpit if it would not be for the grace of God and how God has manifested it to us and shared it with us. And again, I've experienced it in my life, and I desire to continue to experience it and continue to grow in it and recognizing His grace. Again, I say that it is manifested in so many ways that many times we don't comprehend it, but we just take it for granted. I'd like to turn to the book of Genesis, and we're going to be looking at a number of different places where we find the word grace in the book of Genesis. And one of the beautiful things about it is that, I thought I wrote this down here somewhere, I think it's 26 different places. Like I said, we find it 38 times in the Old Testament and 128 in the New Testament. But I think it's 26 different times that we find the word grace in the eyes of the Lord, or else sight. We find the word eyes and sight directly connected to grace in the Old Testament. And I think all of these are in Genesis and maybe Exodus. I'm not real sure about that. But I just like the first place that we can find the word grace used in the Old Testament is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. And I'd like to turn to that. Here we find this in the account of Noah. And it says, I think we'll start reading in verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. And repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But let's notice verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's such a beautiful statement as we think about that. As it mentions all the wickedness that took place here, of how man, because he became separated from God, and how all this evil, and God said, I'm going to destroy man from off the face of the earth. But let's notice, as he says here, which we already read in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this morning, I trust you that are here in this audience this morning are recipients of the grace of God. And if you're not, you're in a terrible situation and condition. That's all of us. But I praise God that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And just as Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, you and I today can find and experience grace as well. And I praise God for that. I said that the first place that we can find grace in the Old Testament is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. That's true. But if we go back in the beginning when God created the earth, and he created man and woman and placed them in the midst of the garden, we notice that God had a relationship. He had a fellowship with them. But because of disobedience and sin, that relationship was broken. But I praise God, immediately he promised them a deliverer. Are you grateful for that? Praise God, and I believe that deliverer is the grace of God. Jesus Christ himself is grace. And so I praise him as well as God. And so I praise God that even though we have the story of the creation and that marvelous relationship in the garden there that God experienced with Adam and Eve, even though that was broken, and because of sin, because of their sin, their disobedience, you and I have inherited that, and we too are sinners by nature. But praise be to God,
He told them, he promised them a deliverer. And we have that deliverer in the New Testament. And we also have it all throughout the Old Testament, leading up to that ultimate birth, Jesus Christ. We talked about a birth this morning, a son. And we praise God for that. And all of us have experienced birth. And what a joy it is to have children in our home. But as we think of all the births that are recorded in the Bible, I'm sure you've probably heard this before, a lot of genealogists, there's a time, you know, when I didn't bother to read them. But when I recognize that every birth that is recorded in the Old Testament goes on up to the birth of Christ. After the birth of Christ, if I'm not mistaken, there are no births recorded in the New Testament. The birth of Christ is the ultimate birth. Praise be to God for that. And I thank God for providing for us in such a marvelous way. Now I'd like to look yet at verse 9 of Genesis chapter 6. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. What a testimony. It says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we also have the testimony that he walked with God. Brothers and sisters, this morning, as we experience and receive the grace of God and walk with him, that grace becomes alive and active in our hearts and lives to bring honor and glory to thee. We'll probably share at least one or two more, and we'll get more into that in further messages about that. But I just blessed as I looked in the Old Testament and how the grace of God was at work even there. All right, now I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 19. We're just going to walk through the Old Testament, just several books here, and look at the word grace. Then we're going over to the New Testament and also find grace there. So we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures, and I trust you don't mind, because when the Bible says it, we can depend on it. It's truth. It's not my idea, my thought, or someone else's fable, but it is a word of God, and it's truth. All right, then, in chapter 19, verses 17 through 20. And it came to pass, here we have the account of Lot, and when he lived in Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah there. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight. And thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain. And you know, lest some evil take me and I die. I don't believe we can separate grace and mercy. He simply says, behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy. Then in verse 20, behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. Here we have Lot experiencing the mercy and the grace of God. Again, what a blessing as we think about that. Now we'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Here we have the account of Jacob, which we've already talked a little about earlier, also about mercy and grace. We're going to be reading the first 12 verses of Genesis chapter 32. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, into the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith, thus I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks in men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. Grace is something as Christians, as children of God, that we receive from God, and we also share it with one another. That is very important as a child of God, that we share God's grace with each other in our love and our patience with one another. And that is certainly very important that we recognize that. And then in verse 6, and the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Doesn't sound like much grace, does it? Here he comes. Jacob had sent his men to plea that he would share grace with him, and he would find grace. And it says that his response was, he came with 400 men. Then verse 7, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and herds, and the camels into two bands, and said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Begin to question that promise that God had made him. But I like what he says here in verse 10. Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou sayest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Jacob was experiencing a test here. And I believe if we're honest, we experience them too in life. Yes, we do. Even in the New Testament, we experience tests in life. The enemy of our soul is still out there, is trying to get into our hearts and our minds and to destroy our relationship with God. He's trying to put unbelief into our thoughts, into our mind, that we don't trust the living God who has bought us, has filled us with His grace, and has purchased us by His grace. And He's asking us that we recognize that we're saved by grace, by faith into that grace, and that we accept His promises. But I believe there's times where we need to be exactly like Jacob. We need to recognize, Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies. He didn't say of the abundance of His mercies, but he said even of the least of your mercies. I'm not worthy of that, and of all the truth. And you know, brethren and sisters, this morning, we have this Bible, this Word of God here, that God is all the truth that we need. It's the road map to glory. It's the way of life. It's our journey. And it is full of truth and mercy and grace. And God wants us to, He wants us to claim it and believe it. And He wants us to trust Him for all these promises which He's blessed us with. And so I'm blessed this morning as I looked at this account. I know Jacob made a lot of mistakes, and we recognize this, and yet we praise God for the way God was able to use him and bless him. And we notice we are studying this morning about Joseph and his other brothers, and about Jacob there in Genesis, and all the difficulties that he experienced, and yet he was a blessed man in so many ways. And that son, whom he thought was gone forever, he appeared, and he was in the place of authority, and he was able to deliver Jacob, his father, and his brothers out of famine and give them a land of plenty. Praise God, our Father is in the same way. He has plenty of mercy and grace, and to enable us to finish the journey and to make it to the promised land. Praise God this morning for that grace and for that mercy. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies, of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over the Jordan, and I became two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou sayest, I will surely be good and make thy seed of the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Jacob was kind of torn between two things here. He thought of the promise that God had given him. He says, and make thy seed as the sea, as the sand of the sea. He thought of that promise. But what else did he think about? He thought about his brother Esau and the 400 men that were with him. And he saw them as bringing revenge. But God was merciful. And Jacob, and pardon me, Esau accepted his brother. He granted grace unto him, in spite of all the deception that Esau had experienced because of his brother. He lost the birthright. And I praise God this morning for his grace, which is active in our lives. Now going to Genesis chapter 39. Here we find the account of Joseph. Genesis chapter 39. Here we find the account of Joseph. I think we'll begin reading in verse 2. Here we find, you know, Joseph had been placed, had been sold by his brothers, and he was taken over into Egypt. And then he was here at his master's house. Then it says in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Then in verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. Joseph found grace in the sight of his master. What would have happened if Joseph would have not found grace in the sight of his master? And even though later things turned around for him and he was put in prison, and yet God was with him. He was also his master. He was with him, and God used him in a mighty way to deliver his family. Joseph found grace in his sight. Brethren and sisters, this morning, we need to share grace with one another. Sometimes we hurt one another. Sometimes we make it difficult to face each other. But I praise God, there's grace to forgive. There's mercy. And we need to share that grace with one another. And we can say, I forgive you. I'm sorry. I gladly forgive you. And we can go on serving one another because of being recipients of the grace of God in our life. And thereby, we share that grace with others as well. What a blessing and what a joy as we think about that. Joseph found grace in the sight of his master. Now we'd like to go to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. We find the word grace in the Old Testament used mostly in Genesis and Exodus, although we find it a few other places as well as Proverbs and Psalm. But here in Exodus chapter 33, we have the account of Moses. And this is just a beautiful scripture, familiar with us. But I tell you, it blessed me to study this and to read this. And I trust we can together be blessed as we look at this account again. In Exodus chapter 33, verses 8 through 23. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. Now, just prior to this, God had told Moses he's going to destroy them. He's not going to go with them because of their disobedience. But then they came to the tabernacle, and Moses pled for them. And he says in verse 10, I'll read this again, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wast sent with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. This is Moses here telling, God here telling Moses that he has found grace in his sight. Now in verse 13, Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. What a beauty here as we think about that. Here we find Moses pleading to God, going there in a tabernacle, and God in return comes down to him face to face and speaks with him. And he said, yet thou hast, in verse 12, has said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. I'm thankful this morning, as children of God, as those of the new kingdom, of the new covenant, that we can claim the promises of God, that he's provided for us his grace, his mercy, his enabling, and he's here to go with us through the trials of life. And he likes when we pray to him and we ask for direction in following and grace to follow the way that he has for us. And I'm thankful this morning, as he said, and consider that this nation is thy people. And I'm thankful this morning that we can consider that this group of people are the people of God. And it's only because of his grace at work in our hearts and lives that we can be that people. And we can claim that relationship. We can claim that connection with him. And we can come to him in faith, believing. And he said unto him in verse 14, and he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. This morning, do we recognize that God has called us out of Egypt, a type of sin, and called us unto himself to live in this world and to share grace, to manifest the grace of God in our lives, that he be glorified. This morning, do we count it a privilege to be the people of God? And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. What a blessing. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand up on a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So Moses was able to see at least the backside are parts of the glory of God. And this morning, as we have the New Testament, may we see the glory of God in His grace. May we continue on in our journey towards a promised land. A brother that's laying over in the hospital, and he was saying the other, I wasn't there when he said it, and he said, I want to go home. I want to finish my journey. And one of the daughters or children started crying. They weren't ready to let him go. And he said, just read Matthew 14. I think he meant John 14 by some other verses that he quoted. Read that. I'm ready to go home. Brothers and sisters, this morning, as we think of this world which we live, and God's provision for us, sometimes we want to stay on. But if we look at what God has prepared for us, and when we'll be in the presence of God and be there forever, it'll not be the backside, it will be our God. It'll be our Savior. The one who shed His blood, the one who has scars in His hands, in His side, the one who has provided for us. I'll tell you this morning, the promises are in the Word of God. Let's claim them. You know, this brother was thinking about, in my Father's house are many mansions. And Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. But He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I will go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And what? And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Brethren and sisters, this morning, young people, children, if you have not yet accepted the grace of God, accept it, receive it into your heart and life, that you might enter those pearly gates and be in the presence of the great gift Himself, Jesus Christ, our salvation. Praise be to God this morning. Now I'd like to look at chapter 34, verses 4 through 9. And he hewed two tables. We noticed he had done this before. And Moses had, because of the sins that the children of Israel were involved in, when he came back, he'd thrown them down and broke them. Now God comes back again and He says in verse 4, and He hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundance in goodness and truth. We talked about that before, didn't we? Abundance in mercy and in goodness, long-suffering and gracious and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of fathers unto the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshipped and said, If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go amongst us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. What a blessing as we think about that. As we think of the prayer of Moses, and he said, Moses made haste, and he bowed his head towards the earth, and he worshipped, and said, If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go amongst us. May God have mercy upon us. Go amongst us. And may, because of his Holy Spirit, dwell in our hearts. For it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. Take us for thine inheritance. And God wants us as his inheritance because of the provision that he has provided for us through Jesus Christ. And he wants us to receive us as his inheritance. What a blessing. What a joy. All right, I was going to turn to the New Testament yet with a number of verses. But I'm not going to do that, except I would like to share one thing. If we would turn to, let's turn to it, Luke chapter 2. I didn't exactly write the scripture down, but I think I can find it. In verse 21, And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written, the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Would to God that we won't experience physical death until we have seen the Lord Christ. And we are already experiencing spiritual death, but let's see the Lord's Christ and be made whole. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the face of all people. Then we have another account here of Anna. It says in verse 37, she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And the coming in that instant, she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And when the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This morning, the grace of God was upon him. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we receive that grace. I think I have to quote one verse yet. For by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Shall we kneel before the Lord? Our righteous eternal Father in heaven, is indeed with praise and gratitude that we come to you, Father, just to thank you, to praise you for your marvelous provision, for our redemption, for our cleansing. Father, we thank you for your grace, which is so abundant. We praise you for it. And we thank you that your Son has manifested that grace to us. And you continually manifest your grace to us. And Father, we pray, as we are recipients of your grace, that we may also, because of you working in and through us, may be those who manifest your work of grace in our hearts and lives, so that you can thereby be honored and glorified. Father, just move amongst us and work in us and through us in a way that you can be uplifted, in a way that you can be honored and praised and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, we're going to pause for just a few moments if someone has a testimony or something you'd like to share. Thank you, Brother Dwayne. Anyone else?
I want to thank God for the grace that He has bestowed upon us. I'd like to share something that happened to me last night. Friday and yesterday, I felt pretty tough. I had a fever, I think. Didn't feel good. Last night at 12 o'clock, I woke up. I was still feeling bad. I thought, well, I will hardly go to church if I feel like this. So I asked God to reach down and touch me and heal my body. I woke up this morning at 4 something, and it was a different world. It just felt just so good, so good. And I feel like God touched me, and I was able to go to church. Thank God for it.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for sharing that with us. Anyone else?
I'm thankful for the grace of God. If it wouldn't be for the grace of God, I would not be here this morning. And during the surgery that I've had, with what went on the day of my surgery, if it wouldn't be for the grace of God, I wouldn't have come through that surgery. I'm still suffering pain. But I give God glory and praise. I just praise Him, for He is so good. He loves us, He takes care of us, and He supplies our everything. May He be glorified.
Thank you, Sister Barbara.
I don't care if I find words enough to express my appreciation to my dear Heavenly Father and His Son. What they did for a cruel creature like me. When I think back in my young days, I never doubted that Jesus died for me. But somehow or another, I was careless. I was reckless. I had so much energy, I didn't want to know how to use it. But the last couple of days, as I sit on a recliner, reminiscing and thinking about His holiness, His grace, His goodness, and His patience, I can't find words enough to thank Him for what He has done, to forgive me, to give me victory and joy and peace within my heart. Thank you so much for the reminders today to pay attention to His grace and to realize we have a lot to do. And the amazing part of it is we can do it with love. Pray for me that I can be a faithful worker for Him. And thank you for the message.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Anyone else?
I want to thank the Lord for the message this morning. As you were reading that scripture about Noah, finding grace in the eyes of God, and let's say when he walked with God, the thoughts went to my mind that he walked with God because he experienced grace, or did he experience grace because he walked with God? And then I had to think of myself. I experienced God's grace. That's the reason I can walk with Him. And I just want to thank Him for that.
Amen, brother. Anyone else? All right, at this time, I think we're going to ask Alan and Rosie and Rolanda to come up here. Lord willing, they'll be leaving tomorrow about noon for surgery in Germany. And I really haven't heard any negatives, but maybe there's some questions. Why go all the way to Germany? They did make some other attempts here in the States, and one of the reasons was they couldn't get service right away and felt it was needful. I think Brother Allen and his family did a lot of research, as well as others, and felt and asked counsel and direction, and I think they feel this is what the Lord wants them to do. And so I'd just like to remind us, and I hope I have this privilege of reminding them, that we're members one of another. And in spirit, we go with them. I share this to the glory of God, but there's something about experiencing suffering and pain yourself. But when it's one of your children, it does have an effect on you. And so our prayers, our thoughts, our love and our cares are with Alan's. And we are grateful for God's blessing in your life in the past, and we trust He will continue to do so. I don't think we're going to get on our telephones and call the surgeon over there. I don't know his name. And plead with him that he does a good job. He does it right. Or ask him some questions. I don't think we're going to do that. Wouldn't be feasible, I don't think. And he probably would hang up after the first or second call and wouldn't answer again. But I'm thankful for another avenue. And that is that we can intercede the great physician, the one who can change the heart of the king, the one who can direct the surgeon's knife, and the one who does grant healing. And so, and I think what Alan and Rosie and Roland are asking us, that we intercede that surgeon, that physician, that God, that creator. And that's a comfort to them because of that connection. And so I remember the first time we went to El Salvador, we stepped outside the first night and the beautiful moon was shining, and my wife called one of the children who were rather small at the time and said, "Get outside and look up at the moon and you'll see the same moon that we do." Well, they misunderstood a little bit. And they thought if you go outside and look at the moon, they could see us. Well, that didn't quite happen. But there is a connection. I mean, there is something when you travel away the first time out of the country into another country, and you realize, you know, same moon that we see back in the States. Same stars, and it just, helps you to somehow get a glimpse of the greatness of our God. And it's because of that great God that we want to intercede Him for Alan Rosing family. Maybe if someone has something you'd like to share before we have prayer.
Foreign country as we do here. And I'd like to tell you all that our hearts will be with you. And the same God that hears us will hear you too. We wish you His blessings.
All right, I'd like to just read a couple of verses here in Isaiah chapter 40. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and be faint. May the plane be like an eagle, take you over safely, and bring you back again. There's another verse that I had wanted. Isaiah 41, verse 9. Pardon me, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Brother Dwayne, would you come up and also pray? Shall we stand?
Our Father in heaven, as we consider this, the thought of our brother and sister and their daughter traveling overseas, Father, our hearts go with them. Father, I pray that your peace would accompany them, that your grace would be with them in a very real way. And Father, our prayer is that they can find the surgery successful, that you would give the doctors wisdom, special grace to know how to work with this. And Father, I pray that you would give Rolanda a sense of your presence and your peace in her heart, that she could feel your presence in a very real way. And Father, I pray especially for Alan and Rosie. Father, as we see our children sometimes suffering and going through experiences like this, Father, our hearts are burdened. And Father, I just pray that you would undergird them by your grace as well, that they could find your grace very real and very near to them, even though that they seem to be far away from what is familiar and comfortable to them. Father, I just pray that your presence could go with them in a very real way. And I pray that each of us can be lifting them up in prayer as well, that you can receive honor and glory through this and through everything that's done. This we pray in Jesus' name.
Our eternal Father, we continue to call upon thee in thy holy name. Thank you for Alan and Rosie and their family. We know they have gone through some difficulties in life, but we praise you that there's evidence of you at work in their hearts and lives, evidence of your grace there. And Father, we thank you for leading them, and we pray especially as they leave home, leave the United States, as they fly, and as they go to the unknown, that they might just ever be conscious of the all-known. You in your presence, Father, and you're caring about them, and you're being there in their midst. Lord, we just commit Rolanda into your love and your care, and we commit the surgeon, the doctors, the nurses, and Lord, everything, all those that are involved, into your care. And then, Father, we pray that we as a congregation would also be there by interceding for them. And Lord, that you would help us to be mindful of them and what they're going through and experiencing. And may we experience it as well to the best that we can. So, Father, we just grant them your grace and your mercy and your healing and your blessing and protection. Also, be with the family here at home as well. And Lord, we just commit the uncertainty to a certain God that knows it all. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Just have one little verse yet I want to read. In Genesis chapter 31, verse 49, it says in Mizpah, "For he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we're absent one from another." May his presence go with you. And I was going to close my message with the last verse in the New Testament, last verse in the Bible. Does anyone know what it is? No? That's there close, I think. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Thank you, and the Lord bless you.